Hello, everyone.
Hey, Anya.
Hello, folks. Apologies for my tardiness. Thursday is my meeting day. Back to back to
Same for
back.
me.
It's
Day out of
amazing.
hell.
I mean, I love other days when I don't have meetings, but sometimes I question the judgment of putting all the meetings back to back on one day. All right. Well, welcome. Cornelia can't be here today, so it is just me. And I may ask for some assistance with keeping up with our spreadsheet, which I'm going to locate any minute right, let's see. So we have today, dun, 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 I'm going to find it here. Today, we are going to start. I shouldn't say start. Today, we're going to continue our review of Jira tickets. If for those of you that have been following along at home, we have completed all of the Volaris review and all of the Vega ticket review. And so now we're sort of thinking what remains. And what remains, it turns out, is the number that we have that have RA somewhere on them that I asked Kalila to help me find a list of, and she was gracious enough to find those. So I'm going to put the minutes in the. I'm going to find my Zoom. All right. So there are the minutes. And from the minutes, there are linked two things. One is the link to the Jira filter with all of our remaining tickets, of which it looks like there are 165. Some of these are quite old. And then there is a link to the ticket review spreadsheet. So if anyone is willing to do the follow along at home with the spreadsheet, and enter something into the RA review column, I would really appreciate it because I can't do both. So I can share my screen for what we're going to be talking about, but is anyone willing to fill in basically three things? It's either going to be RA for the refinement, RA ready for dev or dev ready, I think it is. You can put whatever you want. I can clean up the make it the same, but as long as it's either close for the refinement or ready for dev are basically the three things. And I will go back into the Jira tickets and fill them out. But if somebody can log in the spreadsheet column what we decide, I would appreciate that. Anyone game? Oh, are you talking, Anya? I can't hear you.
Me and Google spreadsheets are no friends, but I'm willing to do that if
It's just
it's
one
not
call.
going
It's
be exactly. I
okay.
think I'll be able to manage that.
I appreciate you. Thank you. So we're going to start at the top, which is UX prod 558, not 1,500. And I will share my screen here. if I can find it. Yes, indeed. All right, so here we are. I will make it a little bigger so y'all can see it. All right. So this is an interesting one. So this one is looks like it is a migration tool for when libraries migrate. So I might suggest, maybe Robert has some ideas about this as someone who helps libraries migrate. I feel like this ship may have sailed, that that mostly vendors are migrating folks, and that developing something into like something for the system at this stage, maybe we may have already gone beyond that.
I mean, as a general principle, I think Folio isn't terribly migration friendly. So I hesitate to say we don't need that kind of a thing just because, like doing a patron load, it's like, oh, well, everyone that's live now has figured that out, so we're not gonna bother making it easier. I mean, circulation history, I don't know if it's the highest priority based on how you can view circulation history given to, for an item anyway. So I think a larger philosophy should guide that if, as a community, we think we don't need to make it more migration friendly, then put this on the list of won't do for that reason. But I don't know if I'm comfortable making that call because I do think it locks you into experienced vendors like EBSCO instead of, hey, let's get more self-hosting sites. Hey, let's get smaller sites that wouldn't otherwise do it, right? I'm not sure. I will say I don't know that I've heard a ton of demand for circulation history to migrate over, and it's not something we migrate over. So.
Yeah, I mean, typically, like we ended up migrating just a count, like whatever our circulation count was on our items at the time, we migrated over. But I think that, and we've obviously migrated current circulation, like current loans were migrated, but historical, we did not. And I don't know that we have in any of the migrations I've ever done from any system to any system, other than like you kept the circ count, but the details we did not. Anya?
My thoughts here are migrations are always very dependent on the system the data is coming from and how exactly the circulation history was stored and used there. So it would be a very individual thing to look at what kind of data and how can we recreate that. Just pushing in historical data in some custom field is possible. You can also recreate past circulation records, but that, of course, it's exactly what you said. It's enormous effort for what? So, what kind of functionality requires past closed loans? So, I would actually close this ticket. I agree on the point that the getting data in and out for migration and stuff could be better. But I personally think this ticket is not the one to keep for that purpose.
Yeah, I would propose
I
that
agree.
we propose it to close. And if someone is like, we need to keep this, then we can keep it on the list. I just don't know how this is going to raise to the priority. Like, it's not about migrating your current loans or your current, whatever, but the actual, it's, I think it's a he really heavy lift for not a huge amount of, I mean, we all of our statistics change when we go from one system to another. So you have to kind of make sure you're prepared to capture what you've captured or need to capture from your old system for the details, and then migrate kind of a synopsis, like of how many circulations or whatever. All right. 797. Patrons can view loans and other account information for all consortial libraries via online via a single account login within a Folio instance. Across Folio instances and with non-Folio systems.
That does
Wow.
sound like a discovery
I
issue
was going to
to
say,
me.
this sounds like front end. Wonder, this one is still a really small number. It does not have, it's got not a lot going on here. It dates way back to 2018. These numbers, these single under 1,000, these are very, very early tickets.
So this is
Again.
pre-ECS as well, because
Oh, it's.
ECS does offer some functionality in that arena.
Yeah. This does seem very, very old. And I'm also, it does seem like a discovery layer piece. I would say this one is not, I mean, although it does look like Tim pointed Dennis to it back when they were looking at EC at the early stages of ECS, but I'm not sure if this one. I mean, there's not a lot here anyway, right? Like it's.
I think the fact that it's described from a patron point of view squarely puts that in that, hey, we don't think, if we're going to send people externally to do spine label printing or whatever, right?
Right.
Like
This is
patron
a
stuff,
discovery.
discovery can be.
Yeah, it does feel like, I mean, it could be pulled together, maybe, but it has to be on the discovery side. Yeah, I would close this one as well. And again, all of the ones that we are proposed to close will go back to the whole SIG for weighing in on that. All right, patrons can borrow requests directly from non-home member libraries, unmediated and cross-tenant with which their library has a resource-sharing relationship. Again, this is ECS. It's really interesting. This is long, long, long before ECS was ever even in anyone. I mean, obviously people were thinking about consortia, but the way it's conceived now was not even around, like it wasn't even a thing. This one is
Yeah, and it
quite.
was also pre-reshare and everything going on there, so.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's very, it's got a lot written. And again, there was this consortia cross-tenant. There's this umbrella that was quite old. So the concept was there, but none of this was built out early on. We were originally the consortia that was going to be sort of the first consortia. We didn't end up being, but we were always going to be in a single tenant. So even though these date way back, they're not. There's some recent information about this. Oh my goodness. But it does date back to 2018. So yeah, this is quite old. Someone did weigh in on this, but I don't know how to gauge whether any of these things have value or not at this point. I mean, I think, can you just put in the spreadsheet, Anya, that to have somebody from like sh something like share with ECS, or because I before we close some of these that may have some of the early thinking that might be valuable to someone. But my guess is we've moved well beyond this, but I don't know, because there's still some linked open features here.
Okay, I
So.
put down refer to ECS reshare to the POs or to the SIGs.
I'll figure it out. Just leave it in the
Okay.
spreadsheet there and I'll figure out what I want to do with those. I just don't feel like we can make a determination here. All right, 9:48. Inventory. Retrieve a list of items that are in a missing status. Feels like we have lists.
Are you just the filter in inventory now, right?
Well, the filter in inventory is tricky because The filter in inventory is an instance filter. So, I
Okay.
mean, it's an item level filter, but you get instance, you can get results that are,
Doesn't give you a
it
list of
doesn't give
items,
you the
right.
granularity, right? So, like, I can filter by Amherst College, but I'm in a five college system. So, I can filter by Amherst College, my stacks and missing, but I will get UMass missing things
Right,
because
good
it's
point.
it gives you all the instances. So, but I think this is, I think we can close this one because lists does exactly this. I think the thinking was sort of like there were a lot more thinking about some in-app reporting, which a lot of that has been achieved by lists. All right, pre-populate start date field when adding additional fixed due date schedule date range. Okay, sorry, I had to read that again. Okay, I think what this is in the settings when you are creating fixed due dates is to pre-populate the start date based on the prior fixed due date schedule date range, which doesn't seem hard to do, but it also feels like
Yeah,
maybe.
it would be a nice kind of time saver, but it's such so tiny compared to other huge issues that we have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So is it something we keep because it's well, it's a nice to have, but priority wise, it will probably never come to the
Never
top,
get
or
done.
close it for now to clean up our list. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I love that it has a tag circ PO small. Like when you have a little bit of development time and you want something easy.
Well, maybe that could happen, like.
I guess.
I mean, it's already pretty well fleshed out. It's
Yeah,
still in draft
it
status, but
is.
it's pretty well fleshed out. So it's not a ticket that we have, I think, at first glance, have to put a lot of work into to make it pullable.
Yeah, I mean, it looks sort of, I mean, it looks ready for dev. We could just leave it in there as ready for dev. It's not, and it is, does have that small tag. So if somebody wanted to grab it,
Should I just type in the notes, mark as ready for dev?
ready for dev, yeah, I would say. Let's see. I actually can't see. Oh, it's, I'm sorry. Oh, it's in draft. Okay. All right. Anonymization of closed requests. Are these in order on the spreadsheet, Anya? I'm just realizing I sorted these here by created date, but
Yes, they
this
are.
UX, the, even this 3168. That's weird that the numbers are, sometimes the numbers are in weird. I wonder if they got renumbered or something, because I would have expected them to be in UX prod number order as well, but they're not. They're in created date order, but I don't know how that one got ahead. Oh well, I won't question it as long as they match up with what you have on the spreadsheet. 1041, I think, is already in, is finally in development. Because this is the work that I think that our colleagues at UMass are working on, anonymizing requests. And I think if you look at it, you will see that it has current activity because Amelia is the one that is working on it. So, or Amelia is on the team that's working on it. So, yeah, this one is in progress. The part one is in progress. All right. So, this one I think we can leave alone. I think you can put in ready for dev because it's already being worked on. I'll just add that tag so we know we're trying to keep our things tagged so we make sure we know we've looked at it. All right, inventory in app report, permanent and or temporary location. This I also think is completely taken care of by lists. Because again, it dates back to way before we had lists, when we were doing all these in-app reports that did one thing, and now lists can do all of these things. Or many of them, I shouldn't say all. Does that sound right to folks, or does anybody feel like we need to keep it?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, close this one. Look at us closing. I was hoping going back to these really early ones would help close some more. Folio-wide search by call number for any item search functionality. Staff will need to be able to search for items by call number. Oh, I see. So we can do this in inventory, obviously. They're saying within requests.
I mean, I
So
wonder.
essentially, call number search within other places, just other than inventory.
I wonder where else besides requests, like you would need it for like checkout or something.
Well, sometimes, I mean, I wouldn't do it in checkout, like, or like I would look up the barcode before I mean, make sure I have the thing. I think we had that capability in Olive, that there was that ability to like look up by call number in all of the places, but I would never want to do check-in that way, although that was ca it was a capability, but sort of the way you can look up a user in checkout. But with an item, it's so specific. Anya?
We used something like that for check-in when we had a damaged item, like the barcode was damaged when trying to check it in. So the first thing to do was just get the item off the patron record and put it on the tech service card. But that are random cases. In requests, however, searching for a call number happens quite often when people have to return something. And you're looking for another copy with the same like base call number or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Other thoughts about this one? Looks like, yeah.
Courses is another
Yeah.
application.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of similar to the user lookup, which there's the user search on the user side when you're looking for a user barcode, but not an equivalent on the item side. And it sounds like that's what this is sort of looking for. But call number might not be the only way that you would do that, right? That you would. So instead of having that pop up to. And in the user search, you sort of can look up by name and other things, but not. You can't do the equivalent for items.
I wonder if it'd be easier in some of these cases to bring over the full like search and filter as a
That's what I.
modal.
Yeah, exactly.
But you are making think I was thinking with requests, just kind of filtering the request queue, but I'm also realizing you've got to create a new request and looking up the item, right? There may be ways of getting at that that you'd want to do other than what's currently there.
Yeah. I mean, you basically have to go over to inventory. Like, I never initiate requests anywhere except inventory because you got to find the thing. But that's a workflow. I don't know that it's necessarily, I don't know. I guess the question of you can only come from the user side. You can come from the item side, but only if you're already in the item. Right, like you have to go to the item record and then click on the requests hyperlink if there's a request active. You can't look from within request to find out if something has any requests. You sort of have to look at every item. So I guess I could see that function.
It
Yeah,
would
one of
also be.
those that could to have sort of like the more options to do the same thing, the better. But again, it's very low priority, I would say. Yeah. Well, why don't we? It looks like it's, don't know how it's already open because it feels like this would require quite a bit of discussion to figure out how to do this. Like this, it's linking to all of the inventory work, searching. So it's kind of weird that it's still, I don't. I mean, these things have been done, but I don't think this looks like it's dev ready based on what I'm seeing here. I think it would need further refinement, even though it's open. This does not look to me that there's any work that's outstanding that is ready to be developed. And this is all stuff that was done a long time ago. So why don't we put further refinement, and we would need to decide whether how it would be. I mean, this would require going back to RA to figure out exactly what are the use cases that we're trying to do, and then make tickets out of this that would be sub tickets to develop in the different areas. All right. That one definitely needs some more work. Implement patron PIN number as separate password field for circulation.
Isn't that already happened?
Do not
Or
know.
am I mistaken at that point?
I'm not up to date on the latest with this. I know that for locate PIN can be used, but I don't know that it's like stored in the user record in the traditional way. So I'm not sure.
I think this one is additional PIN. So you have a password, but also a PIN, which is not happening right now. And I don't know. I wouldn't say anyone asked that we need that. But we don't use self-checkout, so.
Is it only for self-check or is it for?
No, potentially you could also use that. Well, if you come from the discovery side
Right.
and you have an additional PIN in the user record, that you use that if you don't have your discovery folio connected to a central
Single
identity
sign-on,
management. Yeah.
right? I mean, most are. I mean, I think a lot of people are using single sign-on. I don't know that everyone is.
I've been surprised to hear how many sites use username and password in Discovery. So
Yeah.
I feel the same, but.
So not everyone's using single sign-on.
I think we have to look at it later in the context because this is also some parts of the. I don't know what changed in that area for any kind of authentication with Eureka because there the authentication via password is not handled in Folio itself anymore, but it's done by KeyCloak.
Right. Well, but that's only on the user, staff user side, right? Not on the patron user.
Yeah, but if the libraries now use the password field to enter the PIN for patrons, I don't know
Okay.
how this will work, how they do handle it with the Eureka
Yeah, Eureka is going to
approach.
change it, right? I do not know. All right, well, it seems like it could still be required, so maybe put it in for the refinement. It's going to have to be refined because it's this was all written before Eureka. So we will keep it alive, but put it in the refinement. Validation for policy names. Because of the way that the Circ Rules editor normalizes policy names, you could end up with two that have that become the same in the Circ Rules, based on capitalization and spacing. So the example of non-circulating with a hyphen and non-space circulating, you fully will allow you to create those two policies, but in the circ rules, they would end up being the same, all lowercase with a hyphen. So I see. So it seems like this is still would be a helpful thing to have because it hasn't changed. The way it works has not changed, even though it is a pretty old ticket. And I think it says it's open, so I think it's probably ready for dev because it's pretty straightforward. It's just a checking, a validation checking. There's nothing in the system that will stop you, even though it's bad practice. And it will, and it might break it. It would probably break it. I don't actually even know how it would break it. It might refer you to, it would be ambiguous which policy you were referring to, though. So the circ rules might not break, but they might invoke the wrong policy if you had more than one. So why don't we leave this as ready for dev? It looks like it's good. It can stay there, though. All right, future fee fine. Add item lookup by title. Oh, I think when you do manual fee finds, the only way to look up is a barcode. Is that? I think that's right. This is sort of similar to the other one we looked at with regard to looking things up. Right now, you have to go to inventory to find a barcode in order to associate a charge with an item. I think this one. I'm going to add the fee fine label. I don't remember what the fee fine label is. I'm going to have to look it up. Can you put, is it like, I can't remember. That's not a slash. All right, I'm going to have to figure it out. I want to flag it so that Tom sees it. Can you just put a note, Anya, that I want Tom to look at this one to see? I think it's probably something that will go into the conversation about all the fee fine refinements he's looking at.
And it might be helpful to, it's, as you said,
Oh, it's fee fines is already there. That's why.
about the searching for items in Circ functionality, whether it would make sense to connect that to the other ticket we had, this UX Prod 1714.
Yeah, why don't you throw that in the column and I'll take a look at that so that there may be a cluster of those that are related. All right, 2035 is need to see checkout count on item record, not item list. Oh, I feel like we've talked about this one before. Yeah, I think this one is still needed. There was some discussion. I think we saw this on the instance level. There was a desire to see the total number of checkouts on the instance level. But this was about having just a record, a total circ count on the item itself, which was just a tally.
I think that's something new libraries regularly expect. I think it would be a valuable feature.
Yeah, and that's actually when we're talking about migrating historic circulation, that was exactly what we migrated because it was just a single field on an item record, which doesn't exist anymore, if we were to migrate to a new system today. We still have the old one. It looks like this one is open. I'm not sure that it looks dev ready, but
It has a
maybe
fat draft in the title, so
I
it's
know it's
weird.
that is weird. Why don't you put it as for further refinement? Because I do think it's not fully like it would need to be further refined to include like when does this number iterate? Like if you check in an available item, is that a circle? Is it only checkouts? Is it renewals? Like what is getting counted? Like all of that would have to be incorporated into this. So even though it's open, it does not look like it has enough information to actually make that happen. So I think further refinement is required. All right, checkout modals, optimal order, requests. Override. So this is, I'm not sure how many. This used to be an issue that modals, what order are they being presented? This is sort of, this is more than one issue. Right, like there's the ability to override. This is a separate thing. The ability to override if there's something requested, that is its own ticket that we've already looked at, so that is not relevant. The reverse order of severity. Is not. Clear. So this one does need further refinement. I think determining which order things go in, when there are multiple things that are triggering a modal, what comes first is definitely needs to be, and there's some open questions. So this would need further refinement, I think. I think it's still needed, but to see, we'll need to see, is there another, like with the second part, there's already another ticket about this. So the question, we definitely need to take that piece out and make it just about the ordering. But
Yeah, I
again, there may
agree.
be
I
another
agree.
one.
We should keep it.
All right. Further refinement for that one. 2133. Create an action log to capture accurate loan edits for reporting purposes. Some of this is achieved by the circ log. Oh, this is okay. This is more reporting. This seems like a larger scale report. Oh yeah, it's got reporting tagged on it. It seems like it's trying to do it separately from the circulation log, though. This seems like it's more for capturing for reporting. I think a lot of these are captured. I don't know. It feels like, I don't feel like I know enough to be able to say whether this is achieved through our other reporting tools like LD Lite and LDP.
How old is
This is
that?
old, 2019. This is a very old, early ticket. Let's see if there are any comments on it.
Where's it coming from? Because to flesh it out and to make it more concise, you really have to know what kind of reporting you need this for.
Yeah, it hasn't been. So Sharon, who does the reporting SIG, commented on it way back in 2019. This might even predate the circulation log. Yeah, will you just put in the spreadsheet to check with reporting. I want to ask them if this seems like something that is still on their radar or if this is something that is already, they have, this is achieved by the existing reporting tools that have now. Because I think all of these pieces of data exist. The question is, are they the use case that's here? Is that achieved by the existing tools? Because this seems like it's trying to create a diff a separate log from the data that already exists in these other places. So, yeah, I think we don't necessarily need to tag. I don't know what our tag would be for this, but just make a note to check with reporting, and I will reach out to them. Inventory item record. Make item material type optional. Item record stakeholder POs. Seems like there's a lot of item record stakeholders.
This would be kind of like user barcode isn't required, but you can't circulate until it's there.
And if any of your circ rules are using material type, it wouldn't be able to be like it's a required element of the circ rules, or
Yeah,
it,
same thing.
potentially.
I think that action would just be blocked, right? To say you can't circulate this item until this field's been updated.
I feel like this sort of has to be with, oh my gosh, checked with metadata management, which is also tagged on here. Let's see when this was last. Um, 2020. Okay. Yeah, I think this is one we would want to talk to inventory about to see, I mean, to metadata management about to see if this is still something they're interested in. I think this came from there, from that side of the house, and not from the resource access. I think we're flagged in it because it has implications, but I don't know that it necessarily came from. Yeah, the reporter was Charlotte, so it seems like it probably came from the MM side. I would say, Anya put it in that I'll consult with MM about this one. All right. Set up 2193. Set up fixed options for check-in and check-out notes. So basically making them similar to tags that you can select one or you can add new ones. Is that something I can see the potential value for that? I could also see that it could get out of hand really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a system where you could have something like for those kind of things, something like templates. Like you could
Right.
pick a template like you have lost your wallet or forgot your user ID or whatever,
Yeah.
and you could edit the text after you selected the template to make it easier to handle and more consistent.
Yeah. I think you might not want to have it at the. I think you might not want to make it possible to edit at the point that you're adding it, though. Right? Because if you can imagine, I don't know about you all, but tags are like this. Like, you're supposed to, we have an on repair tag, and we have three versions of it. We have on repair with like a capital I or a comma or so, like a stray character in there by mistake, and you can't delete tags. So it's like, I feel like having this. And also that if you created them, like you wouldn't want every single note to be repeated. Sometimes they're one-offs, and sometimes they're things like please shelve and reference, right? If it's something that you're using repeatedly, there are some. So I think it's possible that this could be, but it needs further refinement because I don't think the way it's described, you would necessarily want to implement it that way. I think you'd want some more control beyond sort of end user, I mean, end staff user being able to add things. I like the template idea, Anya. That makes sense. All right, further refinement. All right, let's do one more. I need to wrap at about 5 till. So, improvements to anonymized loans, 2217. Oh, this sounds like it's for immediate anonymization.
Yeah, because it says send check-in receipts before loans are anonymized. So it was before a batch anonymization with a set schedule existed. Is this superfluous now that you can basically leave a gap between the day the loan was closed and when it is actually anonymized?
I would think so because you're right, you can delay. But I guess the question is this only referring to, do people want it to be able to say immediate, quote unquote, immediate anonymization and still have there be a little delay. I guess you could just say change it to 5 minutes or whatever, right? Like, I would think we wouldn't need it, but I'm not sure. What does anyone else have a thought about this? Let's look and see if there are any comments about it. Oh, of course, no comments. Oh, this one we really need. Show patron group on and on. Oh, that actually, I feel like, well, it's still the patron group is kept in the, I thought it was still kept in the back end, but
Oh, is
I'm
that
sorry.
basically a small umbrella for all the individual tickets?
It might be. So that part we couldn't, we would want to keep. Yeah, maybe put it in refinement. I think we need to look and look at it some more and see. Because it's still, there are still open questions on it to see if it's actually. Yeah, there's pieces of this that they're asking for, like the non-anonymized information that you want to be able to display in the interface, and that doesn't actually exist. It's still, I think it's still retained on the database side because I think you can still capture it when running reports, like in LD Lite, but I don't think you can in the interface, in the UI, you cannot. So I think this one needs further refinement. Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. This is good. I think how many did we get to close?
We
Three or four?
close.
Four, it looks like. That's exciting.
Yeah,
That's
and a
progress
couple that we'll pass on to other
to
people.
somebody else. Exactly. I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for your contributions. I do believe we are having a meeting on Monday. So, I need to check in with Cornelia. She just wasn't able to be here today. So, keep an eye on Slack about that. All right. Thanks everyone. Thank you, Anya. I appreciate you for
You're
doing
very
the
welcome.
spreadsheet. All right, we'll talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.